you will tonight, turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. I want to read four verses tonight that is somewhat scattered out throughout this chapter. Ask the Lord to speak to us from these words. Genesis 39, let's begin reading in verse 2. I want to read verse 2 and 3, and then I want to skip over and actually read three other verses beginning in verse 21. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I want to continue tonight on the theme from this morning, talking about how God forms, how God develops a champion. Let me tell you that when it comes to being a champion, there has only been one champion that's ever been born. His name is Jesus. And when it comes to being a champion, when Jesus came into this world, God did not have to add anything to him. He did not have to mold Jesus into a champion. He was already a champion from eternity past. He was the champion, and in fact, I want to tell you, he is the champion of all champions. He's the only one that's ever been born. But when it comes to us, we have to be developed. We have to be formed. We have to be molded. That there are certain things that have to be put in us, and there are certain things that have to be taken out of us. I told you this morning that when it comes to being a champion of the faith, one of the tools that God will always use is this tool called pain and suffering. It's not a popular thing. It's not something that we readily accept. Most of us would prefer hearing a message on how God is going to use pleasure to take us to the mountain of success, but God don't always do it that way. God uses pain. God uses disappointment. God uses setbacks. God uses things that none of us would choose for our own selves. I want to remind you tonight that God is doing something in your life. God is up to something in your life. God is in the business of transforming and molding and shaping us into the very likeness of Jesus Christ, the real champion. It's up to something. He's doing something. He's using all of the disappointments. He's using all of the setbacks. He's using all of the failures. Everything that you've been through, nothing is going to be wasted if you will allow God to be God in your life. Here's what I want to talk to you tonight about. I want to talk to you about what we need to remember while we're in the molding phase. What we need to remember while God is applying the pressures to mold us and to make us into what he wants us to be, there are some things that we need to remember that we find in the life of Joseph. And so I want to give you 5 or 6 things. You want to write them down? That's fine. I'm going to try to count again like I did last week. I'm going to try to count right. Number one, here's the first one. We need to remember to blossom where we're planted. Just remember to blossom where you are right now. Maybe you're in a hard place. Maybe you're experiencing some pain. I want to tell you, listen to me. I want to tell you that it's very possible for you to become productive. It's very possible for you to maximize where you are right now in life. You see, here's how we want to live life. We want to live life telling ourselves, I'll do better when it gets better. I want you to learn, and God wants us to learn how to blossom right where we are. We might be in a difficult place. We might be in a hard season in life. We might be in a challenging time. We might be facing some disappointments. We may be going through some setbacks, but it's possible to blossom right where you are. Joseph's life was full of disappointment. His life was full of disappointments. His life was full of trials and tribulations. In fact, let me just name them for you. In chapter 37, he's hated, envied, plotted against, and sold into slavery by his brothers. In chapter 39, he is falsely accused of rape. In chapter 39, verse 20, he's thrown into prison. In chapter 41, verse 9, he's forgotten by people that should have remembered him. And yet, when we come to Genesis chapter 39, verse number four, I want you to look at that. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And watch the next statement, Solid Rock. And he served him. He served him. You know what that means? Listen, that tells me that Joseph was productive even when he was disappointed. Joseph was productive, and Joseph knew how to serve no matter where he was and who he was around. While you're in the molding stage, listen. While you're in that place where God is forming you and God is shaping you into a champion, you got to learn how just to serve where you are. Let me tell you why that's important. Because a lot of times what you do right here will affect you over here. What you leave undone right here will have some serious consequences when you get over here. A lot of times we run out of gas down the road because we didn't put no gas in when we hit the road. Just serve, man. Just serve. The Bible said, and Joseph served him. He served him. I honestly believe this with all of my heart tonight, that every one of us who will set ourselves in agreement with the Lord is headed to that championship quality of life or kind of life. We're not there yet. And there'll be some bumps in the road, and there'll be some storms we'll have to go through, and there'll be some problems and pain that we'll suffer along the way. But serve while you're going. Serve while you're going. Joseph had learned how just to blossom wherever he was. In fact, let me show you something. In chapter 39, verse number 4, he served. Look over with me to verse 22 and 23. Now he's thrown into prison, falsely accused for a rape that he did not commit. But watch verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the prisoner, or the keeper of the prison, looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. You know why the keeper of the prison put everything in Joseph's hand? Because Joseph had learned how to be productive in spite of the disappointments, in spite of the letdowns. Joseph wasn't a quitter. Joseph wasn't one to give up. Joseph, listen, you couldn't disappoint Joseph so bad that he was going to throw in the towel. Joseph said, I know God's got to work for me, and I'm going to do it with the best of my ability. Number one, you got to learn to blossom where you're at. You got to learn, listen, you got to learn to blossom right where you're at, because the truth of the matter is, not only will it affect you down the road, but it might be a while before you move from where you're at. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Look with me. In verse 7. And it came to pass, chapter 39, verse 7. And it came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. And verse 8, the first three words, but he refused. Here's the second thing that you need to remember. While you're in the molding state, while God is forming you into a champion, keep your purity even if you lose your coat. Keep your purity at all cost. Listen, stay clean before the Lord. Not only keep your body clean, but keep your heart clean as well. Don't let stuff that is ungodly take root in your heart. Don't let malice, don't let unforgiveness, don't let lust, don't let pride, don't let arrogance take root in your heart. Keep your life pure. Let me tell you what the devil knows. The devil knows that one of the surefire ways to delay your journey is to corrupt your life. A lot of us are stuck on the highway of life, headed from being a chump to being a champion, because we won't keep our lives clean and pure before God. Just when God starts to bless, just when God starts to promote, the devil sticks his head in. And Potiphar's wife, who no doubt, listen to me, no doubt this was a fair woman to look upon. No doubt in my mind she was beautiful. No doubt in my mind that the devil had laid out his scheme where it would look like Joseph to get away with it. Everybody's gone. Nobody's in the house. But Joseph made a decision that I'm not going to sacrifice a few moments of pleasure for my purity. Amen. While you're being molded, listen to me, because Jeremy, it'll get hard sometime. When you're on your way to being a champion of the faith, I'm telling you, the devil will come against you with everything that he's got. Make a decision you're going to stay pure. Make a decision that you're going to stay holy before the Lord. Make a decision, listen to me, make a decision that no matter what kind of lies are being told, me and God know the truth. Here's number three. Just scanning the life of Joseph. Number one, remember to blossom where you are. Maybe you don't like the job that you're on right now. Maybe you don't like the situation that you're in right now. I'm telling you, if you'll just open your eyes and see things the way God sees them, there is potential to be productive right where you are. Here's the second thing. Keep your purity at all cost. Keep your purity. Listen, we have lost, the church of today, for the most part, we have lost our heart for purity. Amen. I'm not just talking about sexual purity. Oh, we ought to do that. We ought to do that. Listen, we ought to be sexually pure. But I'm going to tell you, listen, there are other ways we ought to be pure as well. We ought to be pure in our conversation. We ought to be pure in our dealings with one another. We ought to be pure in how we treat God. We ought to be pure in the thoughts that we think. I'm telling you, keep your purity. Because impurities that are not dealt with will affect the journey to being a champion. Here's the third thing. Remember that God can promote you and bless you right where you are. You need to remember that. You may be in a difficult place. You may be in a painful place. But I'm telling you, remember that God can promote you and bless you right where you are. Look at verse number 2 again. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It not only happened here, but listen, it happened throughout the course of Joseph's life. I'm telling you, even in the hard place, even in the painful place, even in the place where there's discomfort, Joseph learned that God could promote him and God could bless him right where he was. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. For all of us who work on public jobs, for all of us who have to deal with other folks out yonder, it don't really matter who's against you if God is with you. Amen. Don't ever get caught up. Listen to me. Don't ever get caught up in what the devil is doing against you. Get caught up in what God is doing for you. Oh, Lord, that's good preaching there, Maury. Amen. We spend way too much time focused on the disappointments when we ought to be focused on the opportunities. God promoted him. God promoted him. Listen, this ain't the first time God would do this. Or this is not the last time God would do it. You remember, don't you? That Daniel goes to Babylon. A stranger in a strange land. Can't even speak their language. But because Daniel was connected to God, he became a great man in Babylon. In spite of the fact that there were folk that tried to hold him down. In spite of the fact there were folks tried to hold him back. In spite of the fact there were folks that tried to get him killed. Daniel prospered because God was with him. And I'm telling you tonight, listen, if you're going to get to that place of being a champion, you got to understand that God can bless you right where you are right now if you'll just get your heart right, if you get your attitude right. Here's number 4. This is important. One of the things that you need to remember while you're in the forming state, where God is molding you and he's making you what he wants you to be and he's getting you to where he wants you to be. Listen, you gotta learn how to wait upon the Lord. Oh, God, you gotta learn how to wait on the Lord. Sadrach, I've been telling you for 5 years, it's better to be 10 steps behind God than to be one step in front of God. Wait on the Lord. Oh, listen, if you'll just humble yourself and if you'll get in faith and say, God, I'm just waiting on you. I'm just waiting on you. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Listen, let me show you how I come to that. Come, go with me to chapter 40, verse 14. Let me show you something. Chapter 40, verse 14. It actually starts in verse number 9. Joseph here is in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. And he gets to prison and he meets a butler. He had been the chief butler of Pharaoh. And the butler began to talk to Joseph, and he told Joseph about a dream that he had. And the Bible said, listen, that Joseph interpreted the dream. He told the butler exactly how this thing was going to play out. Here was Joseph's only request. Look at verse 14. He said, but think on me when it shall be well with you. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh. And bring me out of this house. In other words, bring me out of this prison. Now listen, we're here until close, but don't miss this right here. Really important. Listen, Joseph interprets the dream, man. And he tells the butler, saying, look, say, I know that you're finna be released out of this place, this terrible prison. He said, when you get out, all I ask you to do is don't forget about me. Listen, remember the friendship that we've had. Remember the ways that I have tried to serve and help you. He said, just remember me. The butler, no kidding, he gets out. God opens the door by his grace. He gives him favor with Pharaoh, and the butler gets out. But in chapter 41, verse number 1, the Bible says that it was 2 full years later and Joseph is still in the prison. Let me tell you something. When you're on your way to being a champion, you got to learn how to wait on God's timing. You see, there are things that we think we're ready for that we're not ready for. Amen. You got to learn to wait on God's timing. In fact, look with me in verse number 9, because the same thing happens. Pharaoh has a dream and the butler is close by and he hears of the dream of Pharaoh. And listen what he says. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my thoughts this day. All I'm trying to tell you is learn how to wait on the Lord. Listen. Learn how to wait on the Lord. Listen, if this door closes, I promise you, just stand still and wait, because he'll open another door. If this relationship don't work out, don't worry, don't fret it. God's got something better down the road for you. But you got to learn to wait on him. Isaiah said, a day they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. I'm telling you, you cannot go wrong waiting on the Lord. And while you wait, you got to keep the right attitude. Amen. You know, I've learned this the hard way. Sometimes God put me in a position where I ain't got no choice but to wait. But I do have a choice about what kind of attitude I'm waiting in. Amen. You got to learn how to wait on the Lord. I learned how to wait on the Lord. Wait on his timing. Here's the fifth thing tonight. While you're in that molding stage, that forming stage, listen. Remember that nothing that happens in your life can separate you from the God who loves you. Nothing that you go through, nothing that you experience can separate you from the love of God. four or five times in chapter 39, the Bible said God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph when his brothers was plotting against him. God was with Joseph when they throwed him in the pit to die. God was with Joseph when they sold him as a slave. God was with Joseph all along the road as he went toward Egypt. And when Joseph got to Egypt, God was still with him. Let me tell you why that's important. Because when God is molding us, and when God is pruning and cutting stuff out of our lives, and when God has thrown us in the microwave of heat and pressure, we're tempted to think that God has forgotten about us. We're tempted to think that rather than promoting us, God is punishing us. And so several times in chapter 39, the Bible says God was with Joseph. And I want you to know tonight that the same God that was with Joseph is with you. Oh, he's with you tonight. He may not be saying much, but he's with you. You may not can see his hands, but he's with you. And I'm telling you, he is doing something awesome and wonderful for you. And he's preparing you for something greater than what you could prepare for yourself. The Bible said God was with Joseph. Here's the final thing tonight. While you're in that molding state, when God is forming you and he's making you and he's pressing you, and it just seems like he's going to crush you. He's using pain to develop character in you. He's using pain to teach you some things about life, to teach you some things about people, and to teach you some things about him. Listen, perhaps the most important, be quick to give God the glory for the good things that show up in your life. You know why God can't use some of us? There are some people that will never go further than where they are right now. It's because we got the dangerous habit of taking glory for ourselves that rightfully belong to God. We got a good marriage, but we convinced ourselves it's because we worked hard. We're financially in good shape, but we convinced ourselves it's because we're good with managing money. We got our health and strength, but we convinced ourselves that it wasn't God's grace. It was because I exercise and I eat the right food. And let me just tell you about it. We're eating the right food. I don't know if there's any right food left in the world. What they said was good for you last year, they saying to kill you this year. We made it through some things because we think it was because we were being careful. And so when God do something awesome in your life, you make sure, listen to me, when God opens a door to opportunity to bless you and promote you, you make sure that the world knows that you know it was God who did it. I want to show it to you in scripture. We'll be through. Look at chapter 41, verse 16. I know this is a scattered message, but more than anything, I want you to get the points down because I believe it'll help you. Joseph goes in, church, and he begins to talk to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, listen, I've been told that you have the ability to interpret dreams. And I want you to listen to what Joseph says to him in verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You know what Joseph is doing? Joseph is taking the spotlight off of Joseph, and he's putting it on God. Let me tell you, boy, it would have been so easy. It would have been so easy for a poor man who's been in prison for 2 years. He's lost his freedom. He's lost his job. He's lost his coat. He's lost his reputation. It would have been so easy for Joseph to walk in there full of pride and self and start talking about what he could do. But Joseph didn't do that. You know what Joseph thought was? this may not get me out of the trouble that I'm in with you, but it sure won't get me in trouble with God. He said, I want you to know that if your dream get interpreted, it's got to be God that do it. And Solid Rock, I want you to know tonight, listen to me. You missed everything else, don't you dare miss this. I want you to know tonight that if Solid Rock gonna be a powerful church, a championship kind of church, a church that God uses in these last days, you and I better give the glory to God. It's not in us. We don't know how to build no church. We can't even hold a family together. We can't even get along with one another, let alone build a church. He says, if your dream don't get interpreted, God's got to do it. Those are just a few things that we need to remember while we're in the molding state. You know what? Anybody want a dog? Perhaps, in my opinion, Miss Brenda, perhaps the most difficult time in the Christian life is that time when you're being molded. You see, because listen, when you're in that molding state, and I'll be through when I tell you this, but I just got to give you this. When you're in that molding state, two things are happening. Number one, God is putting stuff in you that you wouldn't choose for yourself. He's putting some compassion in you, but you want to be hard. He's putting some honesty in you, but you'd rather lie than tell the truth. But not only is he putting stuff in you that you wouldn't choose for yourself, but he's taking stuff out of you that you really want to hold on to. And that molding state can be a hard time. That's why a lot of people fool of opportunities, they die in the molding state. They never develop into what they could have been. And they never accomplish what they could accomplish because they don't like the molding state. They don't like the forming state. But let me tell you something. If you'll stay in the hands of the master and you'll surrender to his will, he'll finish the work that he wants to finish for his glory and for your good. That's his promise to us. That's his promise. You're here tonight, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your